Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a really amazing selection of other podcasts indicative of the recruitment market and the business market, for whatever reason you're listening now, we just want to say thank you for choosing us. We couldn't do this without our sponsor and our partners. We're going to talk about them a little bit later on in the show, but thank you to Pager, our sponsors, and our partners Inclusion Crowd and Needy. And without further ado, let's jump in to get to know this week's guest. You are in for an absolute treat today. I am joined by a fellow alumni from my grammar school, a fellow old girl from Berry Grammar. This is Amber Berry. She is the founder of Amber and Asta, which is a specialist events company specifically to our amazing recruitment industry. She is also a mentor and she's a public speaker. And this is actually her first ever appearance on a podcast, which I'm really honoured when we get people popping their podcast cherries. We talk about some really interesting components too. If you're listening to this, and you're thinking about arranging either an internal event for your team or external event for your customers or to attract a community, this is the podcast for you. So how did she get into events? How do the two wed together? And then we make an amazing segue into why we think you should be considering an event, what the measures are, how do we ensure that there's a return on investment? What are the key ingredients to arranging a successful external event on a limited budget? And then how is tech and AI impacting the industry for her? You are in for a treat. I really hope you enjoy getting to know Amber as much as I've enjoyed getting to know her over the last year in real life as well as online. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo. And remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And I'm so excited for so many reasons to welcome to our global community today somebody that I've had the absolute pleasure of getting to know both on and off, I'll say virtually and in real life, through a mutual connection who I've known for about 20 odd years. Our lives are intertwined because it turned out we actually both went to the same school, I think. Her mum did as well. But we've got a shared love of the recruitment industry. And she's actually also appearing on her first ever podcast. So I know you'll give her a really warm welcome. You'll give loads of support across our Instagram and our LinkedIn channels. This is Amber Berry. And she is the founder of Amber and Asta. She is a mentor and a public speaker. And hopefully future podcast guests on loads of podcasts after today. Welcome to you today, Amber. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm great, thank you. A little bit nervous, like you said, first podcast, but I know it's a really informal chat with you, Leisha, and I'm looking forward to getting into it.
You're going to be absolutely fantastic. So yeah, we met in 2023 through a mutual connection, and then you actually came to the first
ever live in real life Recruiters Recruitment Podcast live event in Manchester in November 2023. And that was our inaugural event. And it's the first, hopefully, of, I'm not going to say many because it was a lot of bloody work, but that kind of ties in with what we're going to talk about today. So for those who are not yet familiar with you, Amber and Asta, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So I'm like, as Leisha said, my name's Amber, and I've been doing events and recruitment for the past 12 years. I fell into recruitment in the middle of sort of my events career, and I think a lot of people do fall into recruitment, don't they? And I realized that I actually really enjoyed recruitment, especially the people part of it, but I think I was always destined to do events. I got into events by doing fun sales and sort of talent shows and small things at school to raise money in memory of my grandma, who sadly passed away. So that's just where I got my passion from events from. And yeah, it's led me to where I am now. I've done a lot of different events roles, worked at recruitment in ITV and BBC, and now I've set up my own business, which is specifically events for recruitment and talent agencies. So
right, so the Amber and Asta is specifically an event company for the recruitment and talent industries.
That's it.
So why do we need it? Why do we need an events agency?
I felt like it was so needed. I did a bit of research and I looked and I thought, this is a little bit of a niche. I feel like there's a lot of recruitment companies out there that aren't necessarily doing enough events. You know, events is marketing at the end of the day. And I feel like there's maybe PAs out there that are doing the events that maybe don't have the time and not necessarily an expert in events. And maybe they don't want to hire an internal person just for events. So I thought that's where I could come in and deliver the events and give my expertise and hopefully help, you know, the recruitment agencies attract, retain, engage potential clients and employees.
I've got a question for you, which we've not agreed on camera. What's the best event you've ever been to? It doesn't have to be recruitment. And what's the worst event and why?
Oh, do you know what? The best event, well, I would say actually this weekend I had a pretty awesome time. It was an exhibition event and it was at the Bloom Museum in London. I don't know if anyone's ever been. But for me, it's all about experience. Don't get me wrong, I love the people element of events as well because I'm a very much people person. But for me, this was like something that I'd never like really experienced before, just the immersive experience. And I think having that, I think we briefly discussed as well, Leisha, like you've been to the Van Gogh experience as well. I think for me, that was, it was like the sound, all the senses were just heightened, you know, like the sound, the smell, like everything. So I'd definitely recommend visiting. It's there till April, I think. So anyone.
Great.
Yeah. Not been. And my worst event,
you don't have to name this one, but you can just say why it was the worst event. We don't like to shame people.
Yeah, this is a really tough one. I would just say any events that in general, any events that I've been to where I feel like there wasn't a community element to it as well, and the you know, you didn't feel like you were aligned with the people that are there. You couldn't necessarily have engaging conversations with them, and yeah, it just felt sort of felt flat, like a really bad atmosphere. You know what I mean?
I wanted to ask that, and I can't. It just came from nowhere because actually, I think that's a really useful starting point because there'll be so many people listening, and that this was me when I was an employee, where we would be encouraged to go to industry events, not necessarily recruitment specific, but they would be. So before I did recruitment to the recruitment sector, I did creative marketing. So I'd go to, I don't know if they still do the Cream Awards, but it was things like the Cream Awards. You'd have all these digital design marketing agencies and they were great and they were fantastic. So I'm not talking per se about those, but then I'd go to other events where it would feel like you were basically being sold to. That's a massive ick for me. Like it's obvious why you're there. Or where you're, like you say, there's not this, you're not connecting to similar mindset of people. So I think it just comes down to, a lot of it comes down to the purpose of the event. Exactly. So it's the, you know, I want people to start thinking about that. This is part of your, it's a segue to your culture, actually, of what you're trying to achieve. So I'm just interested because I'm sure we've all been to things that are really rubbish. We've all spoken to people that are rubbish. But I think going to an event with the purpose of trying to sell to people actually is the wrong thing to do. I think it's about connecting community. I think you picked up on the keyword. So you got into events first and then you went into recruitment and then you came back into events.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of, from your experience, the events that you've been to, that have there been any specific recruitment events that you've been to, obviously apart from our podcast event, but you can talk about that one if you want to. What do you think makes a good event, in line with what we've just been talking about, the sort of the community element? So just I'm talking like practically, what makes a good event for a participant rather than the organizer?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, there's so many things. I think you've just got to prioritize. So you've got to be able to, when you are organizing an event, think of a clear objective, like what is the purpose of the event? You know, are you entertaining? Are you educating? Is it networking? Yeah. Or is it just to purely raise awareness? And then from the back of that, you can then sort of form what the event is going to look like.
Okay.
So for me, definitely audience engagement, and that is either through sort of like hands-on practical things or Q&A sessions or presentations, speakers like your event, Leisha. Content was just top form. You know, everybody that was in that room was so, like, you could just see everybody's faces. They were just so captured by what the speakers were saying. So I think having engaging, high quality content is definitely up there. And also for me, I just think, like, the attention to detail, like, people just sometimes forget about. And that can just be little things like accessibility or the catering, you know, have you catered for everybody?
Can I just say that? Sorry to interrupt. I went to an event about, it's pre-COVID, so it must be at least 4 years ago, although it seems like about a minute ago. And the food was so shit. It was a recruitment event as well. I'm not going to name where it was. I won't name where it was because it's too embarrassing. And the actual speakers were fantastic. They were really good. The content was good. The venue was terrible. It was in a dingy nightclub. It was awful. And it smelt of nightclub. And you know, I'm not being funny. And obviously, I'm a bit older, but you don't want to do that for a business networking event. So they hadn't thought through the event. I think they thought it was cool and edgy, but actually, it was stinky and stinky. And the food, it was all like, I think they thought it's easy finger food, but it was just all carbs. There was just no variety. They haven't thought about people that maybe don't want to just stand there and eat tacos and pizza.
Was it just all like beige, sort of like
beige food, which I think, like, if you're three, it would be great. Year three, exactly. So actually, I think, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think actually those two things, that comes back to what you were saying earlier on. It's about the experience. It's about how you feel. It's it is all your senses. Mm-hmm. So for me, that actual event is memorable for the wrong reasons, because all I can think about is stinky. I mean, it's not cigarette smoke anymore, but like that horrible, stinky, stale beer and BO smell and awful food. Like, so I'm not thinking about the content. So actually, we've got to think about the whole experience.
Exactly.
And sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. I think that, people forget, like, the food. I think I've had feedback before from events where the food's been amazing, and you don't even realise how important that factor is to some people, like, to be able to have a nice, like, lunch.
Nibble.
And different variety of options for different requirements, right? So, the attention to detail and, like, sort of... even seating arrangements and signage, you know, where do people go so they don't get lost? Just little things like that. And then I guess the other things that I would touch on is the smooth execution. So, like, having people in the room that are well-trained, that know what they're doing, that can deal with any challenges, so the event can sort of just run smoothly. So people like me having me help organise an event rather than just a random person in the company that's necessarily not got the experience, you know. And I think lastly, just also, like, the feedback is really what you should be doing after each event. So you can send surveys and things like that to all the attendees and really, really find out what actually has made that event good.
Get the feedback. Yeah. I think that's a really important component, isn't it? And, you know, that's... Otherwise, why bother doing it if you're not actually going to get the feedback?
And it's part of the post-event follow-up, you know, thanking your guests for coming, you know, sending them an email, and just strengthening and building that relationship. So
Most definitely. So for those listening who, I mean, it's so hard to exactly pinpoint who our listeners are, but we always say we can base it on the feedback that we do get, which we get, and it's just one of the greatest joys of my life, getting emails from people. We get a lot of people who are day-to-day running recruitment desks at the start of their career, you know, really experienced veterans like me. We also get a lot of leaders listening, which is wonderful. So for those listening who are thinking that, and they've dropped into this podcast, probably thinking, actually, you know what, you know, we really want to get involved, we want to do something, why should recruiters think about running an actual, and we're going to talk about real life events here, aren't we? Why should we think about it? What's the benefit, do you think, of hosting an event to recruiters?
Yeah, well, I think I briefly mentioned it before, but you've got the element of being able to, depending on what your goals are within your business, whether that's, you know, attracting new clients, or is it, you know, on the employee side, you can do events from both sides.
Yeah.
You know, to help attract, engage, retain. If you're, you know, wanting to do attract more clients, it might be that you're, you know, wanting to raise brand awareness, you want to get more like qualified leads through the door. So doing an event will help with both of those things.
Yeah.
With your employees, you know, you might want to do more reward and recognition to retain those employees within your company. You might want to boost morale and motivation. Yeah. So there's loads of different things that you can do, and how events can help with all of those things. I guess it just comes down to purely what is your business goals and what do you
want. But actually, I hadn't even, when we talked off camera, I hadn't even considered the internal marketing side being actually really critical, because obviously I'm a well-known advocate of well-being, and that not everybody just wants to go and get pissed on a Friday in the pub. And actually, I think as we move through the generations, and we have a narrative out there now about a more holistic approach to what reward actually looks like, and it isn't just getting pissed, I think that events, so maybe don't see it as such a big word, but actually doing something for your team members that is away from the office, that is joyful, that they can get involved in, is actually, like you say, it's a really great way to reward, but also retain and engage people. I think team building often gets missed out. You know, there's sort of, you know, just getting to know how people work from a psychological point of view. But I think doing it without a misguided agenda by the leaders, you know, don't be contrived about it. Do it genuinely for the joy that it's going to create. Yeah. And it will, you will have a secondary benefit, won't you? From, if we're just talking about internal events for a minute, that, you know, don't do it with a, this is going to make you all gel together, and, you know, we'll see the ones that are the, you know, charlatans in the office. But actually, no, you naturally will probably see that.
Yeah, and I think just having those, like, you know, you're showcasing your culture and your values.
Yes.
And I think just off the back of that, that will make your employees work harder and enjoy where they work, and then they'll tell other people about it, and you know, it's like, oh, we've done this awesome thing this weekend, and my employer like took us to, I don't know, a trip somewhere, and you did something really fun. So yeah, I definitely think these things get missed, and I think they really need to be.
I think they do get missed, and you know why? Because I'm such an empath. I've the imaginary CEO or director of a company, because they're time poor. And because it's probably easy just to go and book in a bloody, I don't know, Hawksmoor or something, because it's just the quickest thing to do, log it in, and every, you know, we'll spend a grand or whatever it'll be, I don't know.
Yeah.
And actually arranging something takes time, it takes thought, it takes effort. It
does. That's why I'm here.
But that's why you're here. But also, you can have champions in the business. You will find, you know, a lot of companies have social committees where they take turns agreeing what they want to do for whichever quarter or whichever, you know, incentive that they've got going on. It's a really great way to create an inclusive community, which I know we keep harping on about these buzzwords, but it's true because you're actually getting that direct feedback. So going back to the external events then.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, we've traded through, you know, we are technically, as we record this in February 2024, we are technically in a recession. And who didn't know that already? You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to be Sherlock to work that out. So cost of living has impacted business owners as well as, you know, individuals at home. And so leaders are continuously having to be, you know, I guess, see the return on investment on anything that they're spending, whether it's, you know, hiring staff, whether it's, you know, offices, whether it's tech. But something that is seen as, and I'm going to be deliberately obtuse here, it's a nice to have, it's not an essential. What do you think is the return on investment, and how do we measure that of having, let's go back to the external events, and then we'll talk about internal actually, of cost per head, or, you know, what the time factor is for leaders to think about actually incorporating this into their marketing strategy and hiring strategy as well.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the KPIs of the business. And, you know, it will vary depending on what the goals are. So it's got different metrics that you can use to sort of measure the success of the event or the return on investment, as you would say. And whether that's sort of like attendee numbers, any lead generation that you get, any sales conversions, mentions on social media, you know, that's all brand awareness and things like that. And then also the feedback that you get from the people that have attended. You know, is it, you know, you might have had some prospective clients in the room and they've sent a great feedback survey and you think, right, okay, well, they really enjoyed that event. If we do more of them, potentially you might end up getting them as a client in the end as well.
Yeah.
So there's things like that, but then you've also got to consider the things that aren't as qualifiable or tangible, as you would say. So that just might be things like the perception of people for your brand. It could be loyalty and the influence that you have on the industry as well. So there's a lot of things that you need to consider when it comes to, it's not as easy as being able to sort of add up numbers.
No. And
the financial side of it, you've also got to think about, you've got to think longer term. What is doing events like this gonna, you know, what impact is that gonna have on your business?
Yeah. I'm pleased that's your answer, because that's, you know, if I was to have any event, and obviously we have the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast event, it's not about, you know, oh, we got a new customer out of it today and they've just spent 10 grand with us. For me, I think there has to be an element of altruism and paying it forward. And I like the fact that you brought up the industry element. I think if I think about all the people that have been doing events before it became a kind of thing, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. Things like roundtables, tech firms are particularly good at it, is because it is creating you are creating your own community. And therefore, from that community, you will then create that natural referrals and business leads, which will then create the best return on investment because you are creating exclusive business from it. So I'm pleased you've said that, because I think the simple answer is it's impossible to measure straight away, but over a period of time you can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You've got to think as a longer term plan. You know, if you're going to start thinking, right, OK, my marketing strategy, I need to start including events, you know, you might not see a return in the first year, even 2 years potentially.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to then be seen as like, you know, thought, you know, doing all the whole piece around thought leadership and all that kind of stuff, it might take longer.
Yeah.
But actually, all the intangible stuff is still counts towards it, you know?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And I think it's just a more condensed way of doing it over a shorter period of time, in my opinion. So no, I'm really pleased that I asked you that question, because I think it's a very telling sign when the economy starts to put a strain on all businesses, you know, not just recruitment leaders, but all businesses, that one of the first areas that seems to always have an impact is usually HR and marketing. Yeah. And they're, for me, and I've always thought this, they're the two most important things you should be reinvesting in difficult economic times.
Definitely.
Because without those two things, the HR element and the training element, you're not looking after the people that you've actually got that you want to keep hold of. The retention is so important. And I can hear all my HR and training community going, yes. And then it's the marketing. I've never understood it. You know, for me, if you're not marketing and promoting yourself more in a challenging market, because we always come out of it,
stand out. Yeah,
you're never going to stand out. Yeah. And then it's like you're playing catch up all the time. And so all the people that were investing in it. So even if just one person listening to this goes, do you know what? We have had a really challenging year in 2023 and things are looking okay in 2024. We've had a good first quarter. This is generally what I've been hearing, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Think about what you can do for your community. Think about, you know, and I'm going to ask you this next question, you know, what I can achieve. So what's your purpose? Keep it really simple. What's the purpose of creating an event? And what can we do to make sure it's the best experience for everybody? So if that person listening now, what are the three key ingredients to ensure that they've got everything that they need to host an event let's say on a limited budget, let's say they've not got pockets of money, so they're doing it maybe for the first time.
Yeah, I think you've obviously got to set a budget in place, like how much have you actually got to spend on this? And then think about, well, where can I spend that money that's going to have the highest impact?
Yes.
And, you know, you can also reach out to people within your network and try and get sponsorships and partnerships. This is where, you know, you can potentially save money. It might be that they can offer a venue. I know, Alicia, you had a relationship where you managed to get a really gorgeous venue for your
We did.
So it could be with venues or someone that has a really nice office and hold it there. Also, you know, they might offer financial input, so that then that means you'd have to put as much money in the pot. And there might be a, you know, it could be a drink sponsor, it could be anything like that. So I think sponsorships, partnerships are really important.
Right.
If that's something you can arrange with people that align with the theme of the event, or, you know, your values.
Yes.
It's got to be a right fit, I think. And then also, I would also say utilizing digital promotion. So Eventbrite, you know, put your event on there.
So easy.
It's free. You know, you've got nothing to lose by doing that. Utilize all your social media, you know, channels that you've got. Send newsletters. That's going to hopefully get people to your event.
Yes.
Because I think in this market, it is proving quite hard to get people to events that are ticketed at times with the economic climate, like we've discussed. I think definitely using all those platforms is going to help you with your promotion. And also just thinking about your venue, like using an affordable venue, and focus on things like content and experience, as opposed to being extravagant with, I don't know, without like decor or...
Absolutely that.
Like, I love experience, don't get me wrong, but I think you've got to be sensible and realistic with your budget. You know, don't come in with a low budget and then be like, oh, I want to decorate this whole room and it give this like experience.
Yeah.
You can still create an experience on a lower budget.
Yeah, style over substance is never going to win. It's got to be content. For a business-related event, it has to be content above all else.
Exactly. That's
the key to it.
The quality of that is is really going to help with the attendee experience, I think. Because that can leave a lasting impression and memory.
Absolutely.
People without breaking the bank.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, we're not talking about giving out Prada bags here, are we? Can I just add one thing as well, which I know we did do at our event, which I just think at the end of the day, as recruitment leaders, we should be doing more to support communities. We should be using our experience, our expertise to help those who are more vulnerable, who are not in a position. So please partner a charity. That's what we did. We gave all our proceeds to two charities, every single penny. We have QR codes on the night. And any charity that you choose to partner will willingly give you QR codes. They'll be so grateful, and even if you raise a few hundred quid, it's money and awareness for the local charities in wherever you're listening to this. There will be a local charity, and every charity deserves help and support, but actually it's a really nice way to piggyback getting money for a good cause. If you're not doing it to raise money, which I don't think any event should be to raise money, but I think that the pay forward on that is just unbelievable. It really is. And you're changing somebody's life for definite by
doing
that.
Yeah. And I'm all for like that kind of thing, because that's how I got into events anyway, by raising money for charity.
Yeah. It's just, ultimately we're all human beings, and if we're not here to help each other, then I don't know why we're here. Before we finish, it's a really nice segue actually, because you started this whole conversation about the immersive experience that I mentioned to you off camera, which was, if anybody listening has been to the Van Gogh experience, isn't it amazing? And if you haven't and it comes to your city, oh my god, you have to go. It's unbelievable. And did you not go? Oh, honestly, you know, I was what? Really, it was very cheap, it's not expensive, and
you know,
I was
what
thinking
happened to me,
crap. No,
I got tickets and me and my partner, we turned up at Media City to go to it, and they said, oh no, you've got it for the wrong city. It's actually you're supposed to be in London. And then I was like, oh no, I was like, can you transfer the tickets? So we'll like cut. And they didn't have any left.
No way.
That's why I didn't go, which was,
oh, that's devastating. Bad. Honestly, it was on. So if you haven't been to the Van Gogh experience, I just want to say the 3D experience was insane. It was, I actually almost fell asleep in the deck chairs, which it won't give any spoilers. So it's a very nice segue, because before we finish, I just want you to, and I know you're not a tech expert, neither am I, however you do have some good knowledge as to how you think AI and tech is going to evolve the general event experiences that we might all attend or then choose to arrange. So just give us an overview of what it looks like at the moment.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Leisha, like I'm not a techie event person. There's definitely two sides of events. Like, you're either ops or logistics, or you're the techie side. But, you know, I do know of a few things that are up and coming and contributing towards the events industry when it comes to tech. So there's obviously, you've got the AR and VR, which is all the sort of immersive experiences for people. So whether that's like virtual tours or like demonstrations, mm-hmm. things like that, that people tend to be using. You know, I've been to a lot of exhibitions and trade shows where the people have got the, you know, the big yeah. thing on the face, and they're like doing something, and you're like, oh, you're really intrigued by that. It pulls you in.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Definitely.
So yeah, AR and VR, definitely. You've also got sort of things that are helping save time, especially from event organizers' perspective, but also, you know, people don't like standing in a queue, right? So you've got like facial recognition and biometrics, which is really helping with like the check-in process for events.
Great.
Just makes it quicker, you know, facial recognition and your fingerprints, that kind of thing. And it also helps with the security of it, you know, so people aren't necessarily getting in that shouldn't be in the event, really.
Right. So
you do
amazing.
Feel a bit safer from that aspect, I think, as well. And then finally, there's a new AI-powered algorithm, which is super. I haven't used it yet, or, you know, I think it's something that's definitely going to be used more. But it can analyze attendees' data so that it can give them preferences as to like what sessions they should be attending, or like.
Oh, wow! That's great.
And it's based on like their interests and, you know, their previous like behaviors and things like that. So I definitely think that's one to watch out for.
Wow, it definitely is. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt. Big brother, eat your heart out. Amber, yeah. You have been, as I knew you would be, absolutely fantastic. And I'm hoping that we've inspired people to get out there into their communities, arrange an event. You're the expert. Obviously, all your contact information will be out there, and we'll make sure that they follow Amber and Asta and come and speak to an expert if they want some external support with it. But how was it for you? How was your first podcast experience?
Oh, it was amazing. I'm so glad it was with you as well.
I'm glad too. We've not even mentioned Berry Grammar.
I know, I was just going to say, us Berry Grammar girls. There's just that bond, isn't there? I don't know what it is.
Yeah. If you are also an alumni of Berry Grammar Girls, you'll know that when we refer to each other as old girls, it's not being rude. I'm definitely older, but that's just how we call it, what we call ourselves. And I think once this has gone out, we'll have both have already done our lectures in the old girls school hall for the business students of A levels and GCSEs. For me, I'm talking to them about how wonderful recruitment is and podcasting as well. And I think you're doing a talk on
I'm doing embarking on a freelance journey, so yeah. Talking to them about how they can be freelancers.
Amazing. Yeah. So we'll make sure that this is shared across Berry Grammar Girls as well. So if you're all boys, but you know, if you're from an alumni group, then please make sure you give some support to Amber as well. But thank you so much for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast.
Thanks, Leisha.
The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell. You have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educates you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialize in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode. We are so proud to be partners of NEEDY, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose NEEDY. NEEDY source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. Now, back to the episode.